It's amazing as we come back each time. I know every church is unique and different, and it has its own quirks. You guys don't have your own quirks. I know that. But June and I find it a blessing to come back here all the time just to see the life that's here, whether that's in you guys sharing with each other and sharing your requests and being together and doing life together, whether it's the worship team. And I'm not sure just how much you guys know how incredible that is to have this kind of a worship team that's here for you. Been in a lot of churches, yes. It is, Destiny. So we really appreciate it when we come back and we get to hang out with Chris and Lori and relax, and Elias and Isaiah is back in his usual spot. They're both back there. So great that we could be here. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. The way you've built community, the way you draw us together. Pretty amazing. So different. And yet we have this bond in you. This bond we can't see, somehow it ties us together. And I pray today that that bond will be what flows as we share with each other, we encourage each other, but also we're open to you. We want to hear what you have to say. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some people that I just don't trust. Does anybody here feel that same way with some people that are around? And you know, the problem is if those people are on your team that you're working with, it's a problem. I was put on a team that was like this, and it was right from the start, this team was a disaster. Because we were lacking one ingredient, and that was one ingredient, and that was the ingredient of trust. We did not trust each other. So we weren't a team, we were a disastrous group of individuals. But over the course of time, we went from this group of individuals to being one of the best teams that I've ever been on and lifelong friends. How did we get from here to here? Well, our leader that was part of that team followed what Jesus modeled. And it's found in John chapter 4. So you can either follow along in your Bibles, but if you want to just listen to it, that's fine. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, John chapter 4, and a number of verses there. So maybe if this is really familiar to you of the woman at the well, you might want to just not use your Bible as far as right now. Keep your finger in it because we want to refer back to it. But listen to it. On Tuesday nights you guys have where you're just listening to God's Word. It's amazing how powerful that is when you listen to God's Word. So I'm going to begin at verse 4. Jesus, he had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. So she said to Jesus, "You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks the water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come back here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right You know, it was great when somebody tells us what we already know. You're right. You don't have a husband. You want to blow somebody away. You do what Jesus just did. If you have had five husbands and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now, you certainly spoke the truth. I think he has her attention. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist? And I'm just going to skip down because she goes on to something and keeps going through some of the things that are there. And I'm going to skip down to a few verses, to verse 25. It says, the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. The end of the story goes down to verse 39. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. They said to the woman, now we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves and we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. What I want to do from this passage, and I know that there's different theologians in the group here that could dissect this passage and take it apart and put it back together. I just want to take from today just what Jesus modeled. Okay, so I'm just going to draw out from here what Jesus modeled, because what he modeled was the three building blocks of trust. And I think I've got a handout that I gave to you, and you can use that just to jot down some thoughts, some people that come to mind for you when you're thinking about these different building blocks of trust and as we go through them. Because really, I imagine all of us want to have great relationships. I think that's fair to say we do want to have great relationships. And great relationships are built on trust, and trust can be built by you. Okay, so great relationships are built on trust, and trust can be built by you. So there's three building blocks of trust that are there that Jesus modeled. And the first building block that is there is this one, and it's vulnerable. So that's the first building block, because what happened was Jesus asked for help. Now, vulnerability has a lot of different things. I'm just going to grab one aspect of it because Jesus modeled this. He asked for a drink. He asked for help. When we want to build trust with somebody else, this is one of the quickest ways that we do it, is ask for help. Now, Jesus asked for help from somebody, obviously, no, he shouldn't have, right? This was somebody that was outside of his normal culture. This was somebody that other people, when the disciples got back, you saw that in the passage, if you read through some of the parts that I didn't there, they were surprised because they don't associate together. So I guess in my mind, I'm thinking for you, sometimes maybe it's somebody that other people don't associate with. Asking for help is one of the biggest ways that you can do it. Benjamin Franklin, when he was in the legislature, there was one person in particular that hated him. Didn't just dislike him, hated him. They had never met, you know, personally talked, but this person all the time would say things to the public against Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin did this because he was known as a collector of rare books, and also we know Benjamin Franklin as the founder of libraries. So he was known as a literary person. This hater that was there was also a collector of rare books. Here's what Benjamin Franklin did. He contacted him and he asked if he could borrow one rare volume of his that he had, one old book that he had. The man was very flattered that Benjamin Franklin had asked for this book. So he sent it right over to him. Benjamin Franklin took the book and, as far as we know, did nothing with it. He just kept it there for a week. After a week's time, he took the book, he sent it back with another person with a thank you note back to the man. Job done. The next time the legislature met and this hater saw Benjamin Franklin for the first time ever, he came up to him, introduced himself, and started talking to him. And he said from that moment on, Benjamin said that we became lifelong friends. He just asked for help. It's amazing what happened on our team that I said that we were this group of dysfunctional people that were over here, And I don't know if I mentioned, we were a group, it was six leaders. You ever got a group of six leaders in one spot there? And we all wanted to lead in different directions, okay? So they selected a leader. I say they because I thought the leader should have been me. They selected a leader that was Donna. She was the least likely one. She was the quietest one. She was the least likely one to be the leader. But here's what Donna did when she was selected as the leader. She came to each of us and she said, I need you. I need what you bring to this team. And then she went to the next one. She says, I need you. I need your help. And when she did that with each of us, she started to create this little bit of vulnerability that drew us in a little bit more of a safe environment where we could feel like, okay. And our group moved a little bit from there over to here. That's the first building block, and that's where we need to ask for help. The second building block that's there is not that one. Second building block is this one here, and that is interested. That's where you ask questions. It says in the passage here, and at the end it talks about that. If you saw in verse 39, as it goes through, the woman said, he told me everything I ever did. Obviously in the scriptures, we only get the shorter version. You know that. Most of the time, we just get the shorter version. You know, John obviously got the story from Jesus or maybe from the Samaritan woman and recorded this down. But somewhere in there, it says, Jesus told me everything I ever did. He was interested in her. Now, obviously, Jesus has something over us. He knew everything about her. And we don't. So we ask questions. But we still follow his model. Are you interested in people? Interested in what they do and interested in what's happening? We're not talking about the guy that drones on and on. You know that person? They drone on and on about themselves. Just keep going on and on about themselves. And then finally they stop and say, you know, enough about me talking about me. I want to know what you like about me. We know that person, don't we? On there. We are not drawn to that person. We are drawn to that person that asks us questions, that wants to get something to know about us. And I've made this my task in this last while, is to listen in on conversations other people are having. So I was in the doctor's office with June the other day, and I listened in on a conversation. And these two guys were strangers, but they started a conversation, and they talked. And we were in the doctor's office for a long time. So that would have been probably 45 minutes they talked. And at the end of it, they knew nothing about each other. I was amazed. Never one of them asked about, you know, so this is what, how do you feel about that, or what do you think about this, or anything like that. It went on. So I've been doing this as a test, just to see. And I test myself, and I find out I do the same thing. Jesus was interested. He was interested, and he wanted to make sure that we catch on to this as well. So our team, then, that moved from here over to here a little bit, what happened in this next one is Donna said, is that we needed to get to know each other, our stories, outside of the group. Who were we? Well, there was one person in particular in the group that I did not like. Especially. I know, I'm a Christian, I'm a leader. I didn't like him. His name was Mike, and Mike used these big words, and he was a detailed person. I didn't know these big words, and I'm not a detailed person, so I was very different. He used words like systemic. I had to look it up in the dictionary. I had no clue what systemic was. Now I like using the word. You know, we have a systemic issue and we need to deal with that. But he was like that. I found out from him later on, he didn't like me. I said, yeah, why didn't you like me? He said, Neil, you came into our team a day late and you just took over. Yeah, well, you guys weren't doing anything. So Mike and I went out and we spent time together, and we found out each other's stories. And something changed. What changed? Does anybody know what changed?
You got to know what changed.
Yeah. Does anybody know who changed?
Me.
I changed. I was the one that changed. I found out Mike's story, which was very interesting, his backstory of what he went through and where he was at that point. And can I just share with you, too, that sometimes the gruff exterior of someone is not who they are. If you can get past that gruff exterior by asking questions, you'll find a different person that's there. And that's what we need to do as we keep going through it. So I'm going to do this right now. What did you want to be when you were growing up, and why? I wanted to be an NHL player. Obviously, I'm not an NHL player, but I spent hours and hours and hours and hours downstairs, stick handling, on the ice. I spent hours and hours. I wanted to be an NHL player because I just loved the game of hockey, and I thought that was so neat. And yes, when I was growing up, they didn't have the big contracts that they had now, so the money wasn't the issue back then, but I wanted to be. But what did you want to be when you were growing up, and why? I'm going to give you 3 minutes. I want you to turn to somebody that probably you didn't just come with. And I'm going to tell you, first person's going to share, just that's it. Just what did you want to be when you were growing up and why? And then we're going to switch. And the other person, groups of two, maybe at most three. And I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that right now. Okay? Go ahead. All right, that's great. You guys could go all day on it. How was the other person? Were they interested in what you were saying?
Yes.
Of course you're going to say that. They're sitting right beside you.
Come on. He's my friend.
We can tell, though, can't we? How can we tell when somebody's interested in what we're saying?
Eye contact.
Eye contact?
Body language.
Okay.
Asking
more questions. So we can tell. Somebody said this to me, and I think I'll pass it on to you, and here's the challenge. Neil, he said, be more interested than interesting.
Yes.
Because I spend most of my time trying to get you to like me. So I say interesting things in hopes that you'll like me. And it's actually the reverse that Jesus did. Be interested. And let them talk and let them share is how we want to do it. So that's the second building block we want to do. And the key to this one, if you want to do it, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. It says we need to be interested in others, what they're interested in. So when she said he knew everything, he told me everything I ever did in here, he modeled that. And we need to do it as well. And so the best way, how, like you said, well, how do I be interested? Be genuinely curious. It's probably one of the best ways. Curious. Every single person in here, and I can go through it, all of you have interesting stories. And some of you say, no, I don't. I can get it out of you within a short period of time of what that story, those stories are. Of what is happening. And it is pretty amazing when you have it. So that's building block number two. And then there's building block number three, and that's be reliable, keep commitments, which oftentimes people, when they're talking about trust, call it the big kahuna. This is the one that, you know, keep your commitments. What you said that you would do, would you actually do it? And here, take a look at verse 13. It says, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. That's a big promise. Jesus promised this eternal life to her. But he came through. We see at the end of the passage, not only for her, but a lot in the village that she was in Sychar, experienced what she got to experience as well. He came through with what he said. Ever made an offhanded comment? Like, I'll call you. We need to get together. I'll stop by. And then you don't do it. Here's what I learned. A friend of mine, Mark, was a youth pastor in Campbell River, and a large youth group that was there. And we were neighbors. And I would say to Mark, I need to stop by and see what you do and just watch what's going on. And yeah, that would be great. He'd always say that to me. But how many weeks went by and I hadn't? And one week, I remembered it was on a Thursday night, and Mark was having a gym night at the Baptist church, and I said, yeah, I'll go, and I'll find out. I remember I came in the door and the gymnasium, if you can imagine, I was here, I entered the door here, and there's 100 loud teenagers in between me and Mark, who is on the far corner. I came into here, and over above all of this yelling and all the stuff that was going on, I heard my name. Mark spotted me. How did he spot me amongst all that noise? He was looking for me. And it hit me then. How many times had he been watching? And I wasn't there. That stuck with me, and he still reminds me of that. That was what, 15 years ago, probably or more, and he still reminds me to this day of that time and how much it meant to him when I showed up. So when we say something, if you want to build trust, is there a commitment you can think of in your own mind that you said to somebody, I'll do that for you, and you haven't? They might still be remembering that. You think they've long since forgotten about it? They might still be remembering it. And, you know, our team that went from this dysfunctional group here and then moved a little bit because of the trust that Donna said that we need to have for each other, and she was vulnerable and asked for help. And we moved a little bit further because we became interested in each other and stories that were there. Here's the thing she did. The third thing that she did was she said that each of us are going to have things that we need to do every week for the team, for this team to function. Every week. So every week we had the opportunity to be reliable or not. It didn't mean that we accomplished everything. And there were some weeks I didn't do it, and that's fine. They came around me and helped and everything, but I tried. And we tried. And every week then, we became reliable or more reliable for us. So here's what I'm going to think you guys need to do in your minds is think of that. Is there somebody, like on that sheet it says who and what? Is there somebody you can think of that maybe I offhandedly said this to them? Or if you want to build trust with somebody around you, watch for opportunities. I've seen that happen with people where they've watched for opportunities. They've almost created their own way of building trust. They saw something that happened, whether it's around their home or at work, and they said, hey, I'll do that for you. I'll pick that up for you. And then they did it. And that draws us in. Jesus modeled that as far as being reliable and how we're supposed to be reliable. Can I give you a caution on this one, though? Is watch what you promise. Can you deliver? Oh, yeah. I'll do that for you. You don't have the time. You might not have the resources to do it. Watch what. Sometimes you're going to have to go back to the person and say, you know, I was wrong. I can't deliver on that. And at least they know then, okay, you're not going to try and do it. Jesus promised eternal life. He could deliver. Anything he promised, he could deliver. We have to watch what we've done. Now, there is something, though, about this, and the challenge and the struggle of all of this is that trust is held by somebody else. Our trust, whether somebody trusts us, it's held by them. But we can cause that trust to fall. Now, I just want to have a couple volunteers from here, just two people that are going to come up. And can you put the egg back together for me? Just one. Nobody wants to come back up and put the egg back. Because here's what the Bible says, in Proverbs, and I'll read this to you because it's amazing how this, Proverbs 18, verse 19, it says, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Why do we need to build and maintain trust? Because an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Jesus modeled it to us that we need to continue to maintain. Because if we don't, can trust be rebuilt? I have seen it be rebuilt. It's not easy, but I have seen it. But a lot of times, too, it's a miracle of God. as that's rebuilt. On the back of your sheet, it talks about how to rebuild trust. And for some of us, we fall into that first category of we were the ones that broke trust. And if you broke that trust, then it's up to you now. Obviously, you need to be praying, but you need to be vulnerable. You need to ask for forgiveness. This one's tough. The next one's going to be tougher. As you go through these things, you need to not pull away from that person. You need to be interested. And then you need to be reliable. Can I give you this part in here if you've broke trust with somebody else? Is give it time. You cannot say to somebody, you need to trust me. It doesn't work. We do a lot of work, obviously, June and I, with marriages and relationships. And we know that when a husband and a wife, when the trust is broken, that the one where the trust has been broken against, they have to be the ones, this brick wall has been formed between them. They have to be the ones that slowly take down the wall and invite that other person back in. It takes time. On the second part of it, if your trust has been broken, this is the tougher one. You need to forgive. The Bible says, and it has that passage there, we're supposed to make allowance for each other's faults in Colossians. It has that passage, Colossians chapter 3. Make allowance for each other's faults. That's just a wrong verse, isn't it? For each other's faults? Come on. But that's what it says. So only by the grace of God can I follow that one. Because you might not think it's a fault, but I think it's a fault in you. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive, it says, as Jesus forgave you. So we need to forgive. Is there somebody in your life right now that you need to forgive? It's a tough one, isn't it? I'm not going to ask each of you to start writing down all the names because hopefully you're dealing with it. You're doing it. And forgiveness is such an amazing, powerful thing when we forgive what it is. But we need to be the ones that do that. Is there a difference between forgiveness and trust? Yes. Can I tell you this? That although you forgive somebody, trust may never, ever happen again. That's the reality of it. They may choose never to trust you again. You might choose not to trust them. Again. I mean, if somebody stole some money off your desk at work and they came and say, hey, forgive me for everything, that's next week, would you leave money on your desk? Because what happens is you need to watch, and that's what it says at the end of that one. Watch for a change in their behavior. It takes time. And what June and I have walked through in this last year, in some of those ones, trust was broken huge, huge way. And right now we see no way that that person will ever have that part in there. Do we forgive? Yes. Have to forgive. The Bible says that. You can't get away from forgiveness. You have to forgive. I imagine that all of us want to have great relationships. And can you picture this? Those people around you that you've built trust, when you see them, you like seeing them. You want to be with them. That's what happens when we have trust. And great relationships are built on trust, and trust can be built by you. You play a key part in doing it. Just recently, and I mentioned about this team that I was on that went from here, this dysfunctional group of individuals, and went over to here to be lifelong friends. That was a number of years ago. I had an opportunity in this last while. I called several of them. I needed their help. And they provided me help in our organization with Power to Change and Family Life and Leadership. They provided us help that are going to help countless people. It's going to impact a lot of people. But as I ended that last call, and the last call was to Mike,
I ended that call. I realized this would have never happened if Donna, as the leader of our team, hadn't built trust. And for you, it's the same way. For all of us, we can do that. Following Jesus' example, we will ask for help, ask questions, and keep commitments. Those three things. My challenge to you this week is, can you think of one thing you can do in each of those areas? Just one. And then the challenge that I'll have, and every teacher loves to do this. This week, within the next few days, could be today, could be the next few days, could you teach those three things to somebody, just to one person? And here's the part that always gets me. Who is the group that Jesus built trust with? Yeah, they weren't part of his inner group, were they?
No.
No, the disciples were out getting food. You know, when they were out at McDonald's, Jesus was building trust, and he did it with this group, and here's what happened. Life change occurred. So when you change, you know, when you're teaching somebody, it doesn't have to be somebody from, you know, Christian community. You can teach anybody. And just tell them that, yeah, these are the things that Jesus modeled. And the crazy guy that got up on Sunday said, I should teach somebody, so I'm just sharing it with you. So, Destiny, you've got a last song that you have. So why don't you come up, and we're going to sing this song, and then I'll close in a word of prayer.